You are listening to the Disrupt Education Podcast. I'm Peter Hostrasser, the host. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Do me a favor, hit that subscribe button. Check out disrupteducation.co for more. You can see all the different things I do, because remember, my value is helping others find and show their value, and I take that to heart. If you get another chance, head over to getahallpass.com. Getahallpass.com. You're going to find a transition program, gap year programs. You're going to figure out how to get your kids ready for the next level of education. We got Dr. Peter James, Audrey Boyle, and myself. It's a great place to check out. Getahallpass.com. On today's podcast, Junaid Iqbal. This guy started NoDegree.com. I ran into him through our District 230 career day, and he was the keynote speaker, and I was like, I gotta talk to this guy. So he's the founder of NoDegree.com. He does the NoDegree podcast. He helps companies find exceptional talent without college degrees. Junaid Iqbal, coming up right after the break on the Disrupt Education Podcast. I recently asked Jake, who is a sophomore in high school, why he uses SpikeView to share his learning journey.
I think it's really cool that, you know, SpikeView is really putting that abstract into concrete data and knowledge and then displaying that to the outside world. And I think SpikeView is different than anything else out there. Like I said before, because it's really taking that, you know, those abstract skill sets and those abstract experiences and putting them into data that, you know, is actually mathematic and scientific and, you know, that matches you up with the best programs and, you know, best places for you. People, you know, who are really trying to make those changes in the world, and they're going to be using SpikeView because SpikeView is that app where you can, you know, take those experiences and take those passions and put them out there. And share with other people, and that's, you know, that's really powerful. And to that, you know, that professional networking piece, you know, to be with other like-minded teenagers, that puts you ahead. That puts you ahead in a lot of ways. And so, you know, I think anyone who uses SpikeView right now has a leg up in the future, and excited to see, you know, where those SpikeView alumni head up.
Head to SpikeView.com. Start your portfolio now for free. The Disrupt Education vlog can be found on YouTube. To hear it in podcast form, search Disrupt Education on any of the following podcast platforms: Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, CastBox, Overcast, Radio Public, Pocket Cast, Spotify, or Stitcher. Welcome to this episode of Disrupt Education. I'm Peter Hostrasser. I have Junaid Iqbal here, who is the founder of NoDegree.com. And if you know Disrupt Education, when I heard NoDegree.com, I had to get Junaid on here. Junaid, thanks so much for being here with us, man.
Is that the fastest you got someone on the podcast? Because it was, what, less than 12 hours?
It was less than 12 hours today, man. It was awesome. I told my students, so what we're talking about is we had a career day, and this guy's the keynote speaker. And I told my students, actually, before, I said, I am going to get him on my podcast because I got to learn more about him. Yeah. And it happened in 12 hours, so that's awesome.
That's the beauty of today. It's like you put yourself out there. And, you know, it's just funny how these things worked out. It's like I met Stacy online, right, on LinkedIn. And now it's like because of her, I met you, right? And because of you, I'll meet someone else. And because of me, you'll meet someone. And, you know, that's how, you know, these things work.
Yeah, it's connections, it's networking, it's moving, a lot of moving parts. Well, let's jump into who you are, man. What are you doing these days? Let's go back. Let's start with your education. What was that path like? Because you got a very unique education path, which we all do. But let's talk about your path in education, so, man. Look,
I mean, I was always a good student. I think by the third grade, that's when I became a really good student, right? I think second grade, if you look at my report card, it was like, talks too much. I had like an NS satisfactory and an N. I had a lot of S's and N's and whatever. By third grade, I was getting like the E's and G's, right? And then before it switched over to like the threes and fours, and I was always very good in math and stuff. And I was good too. I did talk too much. Like that was every report card. It's like he socializes too much. And no, it kind of worked out. Like, I guess there was a sign, right? And you know, I went, like, my parents were big. Like, I've always had tutors and all that stuff. And I, it's not like I needed tutoring. It's just, like, you had to have a tutor, right? You had to, like, you had to be on top of the stuff. And I remember in sixth grade, I went to, like, a summer school. And they put me in eighth grade math, and I had the highest grade in the class, right? So in summer, I spent, like, 30 minutes on the bus, like, going to this two classes and all that stuff. So, and then I went to, like, a competitive high school, one that you had to test in. So I went to the Bronx High School of Science. It's a top 20 high school in the U.S., and it's super competitive, right? And it's like, you can't get in, there's no tuition. You can, you have to, on this test, you have to get above a certain number score. And it's the second hardest one to get into in New York City. The first is Stuyvesant. So that's like, that has a higher credit score. I think I was off by a few points, but it worked out. And that really impacted it. And it really affected my view on school, right? Because I didn't necessarily hate school. I hated the admin aspect of it, and I hated the fact that it was so much work at such a young age. Like, I worked harder in Bronx Science than I did at Columbia. I've worked more hours probably during work here and there, mm-hmm. but like, I was, well, what I enjoyed about schools was I was captain of the wrestling team, but my commute was like an hour and a half, so I have to wake up at 6 a.m every day, and I'd come home at 9 p.m and then I had like, dude, we used to have like 3 to 4 or 5 hours of homework. Like, wow. Some of these teachers were crazy. Like, I'm all okay with homework, right? But some of these teachers, like, they used to take like an hour or two and then tests and all that. And it was tough. But, you know, then I was so burned out from high school. Our school has a system where Stony Brook University, it's called on-site admissions. You just bring in your report card, your SAT score, ACT score, and they tell you whether you got in or not. Now, unless you're below like an 80 average, you pretty much get in on site, and then you have to fill out the application. So I got in, and all I had to do was copy and paste my application into that. I didn't even finish that. So even though I got into the school, I didn't even like check the box. I was so burned out. I just had to, because I was like, I want to be a gym teacher and all that. So I actually, so you didn't know that, I went to SUNY Cortland for a semester. I wanted to be a gym teacher.
Yeah.
But when I sort of, you know, due to some life things and all that, and also the fact that as a teacher, there is a lot of liability. I thought I was like, I'll be a gym teacher, I'll just work out with the kids, and I'll be fit and all that. But there's a lot of liability involved, right? Like, if a kid gets hurt while you're playing or over there, it's a lot. So that kind of, like, took me off that path. And then I kind of went complete opposite. I went, you know, majored in applied math and economics. I graduated with a 3.81. Like, typically, I got, like, the high. In all my econ classes, I got straight 4.0. I was typically always a top student or top. To math, some classes I was a top student, but there were some super smart kids in math. But I was always, you know, I did well. I won an award in my department. I wanted to be an actuary. I got into Columbia. You know, that was mainly for my parents and stuff. My parents, like, they're immigrant parents, right? To them, education, and so that made them really happy. That was like one thing. They're like, oh, okay, he knows what he's doing and stuff. And then, you know, I worked at MetLife for a few years. But when I got into Columbia, I saw a post on Reddit, and someone asked, for those, they have a subreddit called Ask Reddit. It was like, for those of you without a college degree who make over six figures, what do you do and how'd you get the job? And I was looking at these. I was like, claims adjuster, I'm a surveyor, I'm this technician. And I realized, how'd you get the job? My uncle, my cousin, my friend, or my high school teacher told me about it. And I was like, why can't I be that friend, right? What if you don't have that friend? Do you not deserve to, like, get paid? And some of these jobs paid well, right? They're all six figures. Mm-hmm. And it was like, hey, you do this for X number of years, you get this title, and you move up, and you'll get six figures clear easy. So I was like, oh, why can't I do that? And I searched up trades.com. It was, like, for sale, but I was like, they're going to ask dictionary words. They're going to ask a lot of money. Put up nodegree.com. Eventually, like, it was a reseller. We got it for, like, $1,400. And, you know, the rest was history. And then it was, like, 6 years of just figuring out, like, unfortunately I had to get a job because I'm not wealthy. And, you know, so I worked for a few years, but eventually I came to a point where, like, my goal was always to work on nodegree.com full time. Mm-hmm. And thankfully I live at home, so that enabled me to sort of start my business. And thankfully now it's really taken off to the point where it's like I'm set. But, you know, I still have a long way to go. So that's right. Sort of my journey.
Yeah. Right? I mean, that's. I think what I heard a lot in there is a lot of numbers. I'm obviously a math guy. I love it.
And
my father was a math teacher for many years. So I really picked up on that. But then, you know, I think what it resonates with a lot of young people, a lot of our young listeners, is they see that number, that $100,000 or six figures, and how do I get that? And that sparks curiosity. Yeah. But then there's also the numbers of a lot of pressure and ranking, and yeah. I hear that in there as well. Is interesting. I didn't know you wanted to be a PE teacher.
Yeah.
And obviously as a wrestling coach, I think yeah. you're into that as well. But let's shift a little bit and then talk about, okay, so you have nodegree.com.
Yeah.
What is it that what's your why? What's the value here? What are you looking at doing? You alluded to it a little bit, yeah. but you were talking about like mentors and people to yeah. to connect with. But overall, what are we looking to do with nodegree.com? And then, what are your challenges?
So my main thing is I want to change the stigma attached to people without college degrees. A lot of kids go to college because their parents force them to.
Mm-hmm.
Or they just go to college because that's what you're supposed to do, right? And thing is, it's very destructive because colleges have taken advantage of this. They charge so much. Like, look at tuition when you were younger, And now this year has really shown like no college has lowered tuition.
Right.
They're charging the same and they don't have the same cost. It's like these Zoom classes. And if you think about it, the money's not going to the professors. Like professors aren't obscenely rich. Right. It's going all mm-hmm. into these admin programs and all that. And it's like I really want people to understand that colleges are in the business of education. And you have to understand that if you think of them as in the business of education, their decisions make sense. Don't think of them as these nonprofits that are very friendly and all that stuff. Because look, the day you graduate, they send these letters for donations after you're working on paying them off for many years, right? And I'm okay with college. It's just that price it does not make sense. And then the other thing is not everybody is good in the classroom. So a lot of people are defined by, oh, this guy PhD from Harvard or this guy is law school Harvard. There are some people who are just outright jerks, right? There are people mm-hmm. who screwed over their business partners. There are people who are not ethical. You know, they're not better than someone who's a mechanic or someone who's a garbage man or someone who's not that. And then the other thing is college. The thing is, you know, that in order for something to be curriculum, it has to have a certain thing. It has to be developed. XYZ, it has to go through a certain process. Some of these industries develop so fast that you cannot really learn it in the classroom
right.
the same way, right? Like AI, right? You got to sort of be in the field and all that. And then the other thing is I'm a big fan of like alternative paths.
Mm-hmm.
Like you should be able to, you see a lot of jobs, right? It says like, oh, I must have college degree. And yeah. you look at it and it's like, but someone can do it without. Like, look, yeah. And I think, look, if it's a biology research job, must have, call it biology degree. Okay, right. That makes sense. You work in the lab, you have this experience. But I see a lot of people who are experienced, and I work with a lot of clients, and they get rejected from jobs because they don't have the college degree. But these are jobs that they can do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it just doesn't make sense. I'm not a big fan of like requirements just for the sake of requirements, especially when they eliminate people who can do the job.
Coming up after the break, Janiyah goes a little bit deeper into nodegree.com and what it's all about and gives some very good advice for youth and parents around the next step of their education. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Disrupt Education. Have you ever thought about creating courses and training online? Without a partner to guide you through that process, you're going to be stressed about why your learners aren't engaged or how to create updated content, missing revenue opportunities, and not even having enough time. I know because I create online courses, and I have a solution for you, e-learning partners. You don't have to be overwhelmed anymore. Become a partner with eLearning Partners to create your courses and training stress-free and achieve the results you want to see. If you are thinking about wanting to create a course or training online and you believe like I believe that no expertise should go unheard, then click the eLearning Partners link in the notes of this podcast and you can start your journey to create your courses and training stress-free. If you want all that and more from the eLearning Partners, hit the link in the podcast notes because there's a free masterclass for you to take. That's right, a free masterclass. Hit that link today.
Yeah, there's a couple things I want to ask, two big questions. I think the first question that came to mind is, yes, your parents were immigrants. And so
yeah.
I work with a ton of first in the United States and immigrant parents, and the students are always coming to me asking, what do I tell my parents because I don't want to go right into school? Do you have any advice for that? That's a very difficult conversation.
There's really no advice because I have immigrant parents, and this is like 10 years out.
Yeah.
And they're so hard to convince. Like, it's to the point where I don't value my mom's opinion on things. Like, she just doesn't know about these things. And unfortunately, but I understand, right? That's what they know, right? Like, my mom's sister is a doctor. Her brother is like a PhD in Japan, right? He was like the first in the country. Like, he got a scholarship out of Bangladesh to go to Japan, right? Her two brothers are generals in the army. So, like, that's all they know, right? Mm-hmm. And this is the big thing that a lot of people don't understand. It's like, our parents grew up, whatever. They grew up, my parents were born like 50s to 70s, right? Yeah. Around that time frame. Everybody around them who went to college was ultra successful, right? It was just, it was easy. You could get a music degree and work at IBM in the 90s, right? And you can work your way up, right? Now it's like, get a music degree and your local band won't even hire you. So that, to them, they see that.
Yeah.
But they, you know, the thing is, times change. And they also, like, that was a time when you could work mow lawns over the summer and pay your tuition. It was like five grand, whatever, a couple thousand, and you work the summer and you pay it off. And it was just so they, that's what they know.
Mm-hmm.
So to them, they're like, hey, why don't you get that like this other person? But it's like a totally different time. It's like so much more competitive. It's like now the rise of technology. So it's like, that's, you know, it's something that I think you have to do a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, it's such a hard conversation just because it's like, you have to really understand this. And some people, like, I have someone who I went to high school, elementary, middle school, high school with, and her dad was like, yo, if you're not a doctor, we're gonna disown you. Mm. Like, that's a conversation. And at that, you can't reason with someone like that.
Right.
At that point, they have a certain image and you can't. But I would tell your parents, be like, if you plan on not going to college, you have to show them that you're doing something.
Yeah.
Because what ends up happening, and I see a lot of people, when they don't go to college and they don't have a plan, it's so easy now to browse social media all day. So easy to fall into video games. And I've seen people years wasted, right? Because you're just playing video games. They're doing all this stuff. So make sure that you have a plan. Like, you tell them, hey, I want to do this. Or, you know, if you don't want to go to school, go part-time.
Yeah.
Right? Find a way to compromise. Like, go part-time and do that. And again, kind of show them. Or find a way to compromise, and then if you can't, like, you just have to, it takes years to kind of have it. I'll say my dad has got around because he kind of sees, like, now he sees, like, okay, money's coming in.
Yeah.
Like, he's hired people XYZ. My mom just doesn't really understand. I think maybe next year, like, whatever, she'll kind of see it, that I'll have even more money coming in and all that stuff. But it's just something that just takes time. Just anybody, you know, like, people change over the years. And, you know, even with our parents, it's just like a lifelong relationship. And I think at 18 is definitely hard just to even have that. Because it's like, I'll tell you, like, I still have trouble, like, talking to my parents about, like, you know, I have, like, the typical stoic immigrant dad, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, he'll just come in my room. He's like, hey, did you do this? He's like, why not?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's it, right? That's the conversations I have with my dad. He's like, hey, you ordered too many packages.
Yeah, that's, I mean, as a father, I mean, I have a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old. And I find myself being my own dad like that. And it's hard because, but the plan is huge. I think that's exactly what we as parents want. We just want a plan. We want, what are you going to do? Don't sit around all day and you know, just soak in social media. That's a great. So on the other piece of that, what I wanted to kind of ask about is, I've talked to a few HR people and big corporations and such around, like, the degree. Now, one of the gentlemen that I talked to, I won't state the name of the company, but he was 35 and he's one of the top HR guys at this huge real estate, mogul company. And he's going through and scratching off college degrees on these necessities to hire somebody. How do we get more companies to see this? Because if you can show value all over the place.
You know what? More and more companies are seeing this because Google, IBM, Microsoft, they all removed the college degree requirement. So more and more companies are seeing this.
Mm-hmm.
But just realize that even though if it's official company policy, it may not be that person's policy because that person went to school and stuff. And what has to happen is more people have to get in without college degrees and have to be great employees. Because once that happens, then you have a live example. This is the big issue with a lot of companies, right? The biggest source of hiring is referrals. And who do people refer? People they went to college with, right? So that's another thing. So if you don't have a college degree, you have to build your network. And I will say that it's not hard to build your network, but you have to be active. Yeah. Like, college is a very passive way to build your network. You go, whatever, boom, you went to the school. You have to make sure you do things like, hey, you're part of this local networking group. You're part of this. You go reach out to someone so they connect with the recruiter. You do that. So that's, it has to be like an active, like, companies are slowly doing their part. So look, first they did the requirements. So at least now it's acceptable, right?
Yeah.
Now it's like you have to get in front of them and show them. So, you know, like in real estate, you have to show like, hey, just because you don't have a degree does not mean you're not educated. It does not mean you're not passionate. It does not mean you have communication skills. So demonstrate that. Yeah. And you're going to see that a lot of people, they like people who have initiatives. That's like the biggest thing. Initiatives and passion, that's something that you can't show on a resume. Mm-hmm. And that's something you can never learn in college, right? That's something you just have and you develop. So that's kind of what I would tell people. It's like, companies are starting to kind of open the door. You got to go in and blow that door, you know, crack that door wide open.
That's great advice. I mean, I see it on both ends. And it's such an eclectic time to be alive, really. We all these crazy things are happening. Education has been primed for change. And now we're forced into it through pandemic and all kinds of social justice challenges that we have. So talk to me a little bit about nodegree.com. What can people see in it? Where can people connect with it? How do people interact with nodegree.com? What does that look like for students and parents?
So there are several ways. I personally, like, my goal is to help a lot of people, right? And because I know, like, look, interview prep and resumes, there's only so much I can do, right? Like, I can't do 100 resumes next week, right? So my goal is I want to educate through content. So I spend a lot of time. I have, like, a small YouTube channel. The content, like, on nodegree.com, I'll talk about how to network, right? I'll have a networking short edition, networking long edition, how to prepare for an interview, how to, you know, what is a welding job? So I'll focus a lot of different content. How do females rise in the workplace? Like, you know, all that stuff. How to move up in the workplace. So that's sort of, and all that's free. And I'll recommend books too. Like, hey, how to negotiate salary. Go read these two books. That's very important for you. So that's one thing. The other thing is the podcast. Like, I started the No Degree podcast because I saw that there are a lot of people without college degrees, but their stories weren't out there. Like, people are like, how do you become like a welder level 3? And it's like, hey, how do you become an electrical contractor? What's the process? It's like, oh, okay, it takes 7 years. You have to be in the union, get your thing, and then you can sort of go and you have these licenses and all that. And so that's where I interview people. Like, I've had people, like one guy, he currently works at Twitter, right? And he worked at Salesforce. And I had another guy who's a comedian and he made 18K as a comedian. He became a salesman and now he's making over $500,000. It's like a lot of people talk, but I want to introduce people to the journeys, and every episode's a little different. And I'm not saying you got to become a salesman or you got to do it this way, because everybody has something different in life that they want to do. But that's sort of how the best way to interact with nodegree.com. And then obviously you can connect with me on LinkedIn. You know, I have content relating to that. That's another way to really make the most of it.
Excellent. Excellent. Last two suggestions. And I'm going to ask you, would you say, what advice would you give a high school student right now? And then on the other end, what advice would you get parents of a high school kid about ready to transition to the next level of whatever their learning journey is? So we'll start with the student in school.
Okay, awesome. So I actually recently became a certified career coach. There's a certification called the UMAP. There's the Gallup StrengthsFinder test, and it's kind of on steroids. So what I would kind of say is, especially as a high school student, like, my biggest strength is self-awareness. I know what I'm good at. I know what I'm not good at. And same thing with, and this goes to the parents too. Understand what your kid's good at and know what they're not good at. Because oftentimes parents, you know, we try to live vicariously through our kids. It's just like, hey, you know, I wrestled, my son got to wrestle, you know, he got to do this stuff. But you got, and I would encourage everyone to take like the Gallup StrengthsFinder test to figure out like, hey, what are you good at? Like, you can't tell an introvert, go to parties all day or go to these events. It's not them. It's not It's not a part of them. And you can't tell someone, hey, you got to become an artist if they're not creative, right? So mm-hmm. you got to figure out, like, what do you like to do? What are your strengths at? Do you like working with people? Do you like solving problems? Do you like having impact? Figure that out. That's more important at a younger age, because, and then you can siphon your energies into the right things. Like, I've seen, like, it, and it's okay to switch. It's okay to figure yourself out. But don't just go into a path because your parents want you in that path. Because, look, I know someone who is, like, in dental school, final residency, and he's not a dentist. Like, he'll do good at that job, but he's always thinking about business. He's always about, and it's not him. And unfortunately, like, once you commit to that and you spend all this money, you have no choice but to do it for a few years.
Yeah.
Now, same thing. Parents, understand that your kid's not the other kid, right? One thing I disliked about my parents is, like, oh, this person got this. This person got a high grade. This person is doing this. Why aren't you doing that? It's like, kind of understand that it's okay if your kid's not that. But make sure your kids, help your kid be the best version of themselves, right? Yeah. Understand that they're still growing, and help them along the way. And I think that will, like, make a big difference. And it's something that, and it's not easy, right? It's like, you're still like, look, I hang out with my nephew, but encourage, you know, like, for example, like, I know he's going to watch YouTube. Like, you're not going to stop a kid from watching YouTube. So I'll kind of tell him, be like, hey, can you research podcast mics? Yeah. Can you research monitor? And what he'll do is he'll go on YouTube and he'll be like, hey, you need this for your podcast mic. Because they're going to do certain things. So kind of push them in a slightly different direction that they can kind of help you. And you'd be surprised that what you can do, because there is some positive social media, like technology, right? How to build a PC, how to do these things. And you'd be surprised that these are great things. And then they get into these passion projects, they start building and all that stuff. And now it's a creative outlet of their time. Now they're spending their time doing XYZ, learning how to do this, and they can take it somewhere else. And then in an interview, they can show a picture of their custom built PC, and that sets them apart, and that helps them get a tech job. And, you know, like, that's how life goes. Like, find ways to, like, work with your kid, because it's like, working against someone is just not gonna work, right? You're it's just like, it's antagonizing from both ends, and it just doesn't get anywhere.
It's funny you brought up computer. My son is actually the one who built the computer I'm working on right now.
Nice.
That is such great advice. As a father, it's tough. It is hard to let your kid get out there and fail. I know a lot of people think they're failures because their kid kind of hangs out at home while they're maybe 20 or so, but that's not the case. I mean, I totally agree with everything that you're saying there, and it's great advice. Hey, man, Junaid, I want to thank you so much for hanging out with us on Disrupt Education. It's nodegree.com. You want to check this out, and we'll put all the stuff up down below. Thank you all so much for hanging out with us on Disrupt Education.